Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 267, an update on Eurofascism. This is being recorded on December 31st of the year 2000. We're going to begin by taking a look at an article from the San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, December 23rd of the year 2000. This is an article by Alessandra Stanley of the New York Times. It's datelined Rome, headlined, Bomb Attack Rattles Central Rome and Italians. It's subheaded, Offices Damaged, Right-Wing Suspect Injured. Now, note in this regard that the Italian fascist group, or actually it's an international fascist group with which this attacker or alleged attacker was apparently involved, was the International Fascist Third Position. There's a two-part miscellaneous archive series available from Spitfire, M19 and M21. I would also note that in For the Record program number 231, entitled Danger, Lone Nuts at Work, we discussed an apparent lone nut who went off in May of this past year, killing a number of minorities and Jews, and although the authorities said he was just a lone nut, in fact, he himself professed to be a member of the fascist third position. And again, all of those broadcasts, M19, M21, and For the Record program number 231, available from Spitfire. Again, this is from the Chronicle of December 23rd of the year 2000. It reads in part as follows. A suspected right-wing terrorist set off a bomb outside the office of the left-wing newspaper Il Manifesto in central Rome yesterday, police said. The attack, in which the bomber was badly wounded, came 4 days after the police found a bomb on the roof of Milan's cathedral, and it jolted Italy's holiday mood with fears that terrorism could again be on the rise. Skipping down, Interior Minister Enzo Bianco identified the wounded man as Andrea Insabato, 41, and said he was a former member of a right-wing terrorist group with a string of previous arrests. The police were searching for a possible accomplice who might have escaped on a motorbike. Premier Giuliano Amato called the bombing, quote, an attack on democracy, unquote. Skipping down, the suspect, Insabato, has a long record of arrest for acts ranging from burning a flag with the Star of David at a soccer match in 1992 to firing on the headquarters of the Communist Party in 1976 when he was 17. According to the police, Insabato was a member of a right-wing terrorist group called Terza Posizione. That, again, is Italian for third position. The third position is a fascist, an element of the international fascist movement that seeks to incorporate elements of the left and of progressive political movements into an overall fascist agenda. In particular, it seeks militant extreme leftists, and one of the uniting aspects of the fascist third position is their militant anti-Americanism. We're going to turn now to the Searchlight. That's a British anti-fascist publication, not to be confused with the American Spotlight, its ideological opposite number, although they have similar titles. This is from the Searchlight's issue of November of 2000, number 305. You can reach the Searchlight at 37B as in boy, New Cavendish Street, London, WC1M8JR. Telephone 020-7681 and 8660. The email address is editors@searchlightmagazine.com. That's editors@searchlightmagazineoneword.com. The website is www.searchlightmagazineoneword.com. And again, this is from the Searchlight's issue of November of 2000. It's number 305. And dealing with the fascist third position and Italian terror, this particular article updates that. And by the way, we dealt with the strategy of tension and the manipulation of both extreme left-wing and right-wing terror in Italy in For the Record program number, or rather Radio Free America programs 19, 20, and 21, three of the five-part Radio Free America series dealing with the shooting of the Pope. This article is by Jerry Gable. It's headlined, Fiori Terror Exposed, and it's about the Italian fascist terrorist Roberto Fiori, who had gone to ground in England and then returned to Italy. This article reads, while the wheels of justice may grind slow in Italy, at least they grind. After a police investigation that started in 1995, late September saw the arraignment in Verona of 43 members of the Veneto Front Hammerskins on charges including assault, threats, and distribution of hate material. The trial is expected to last several months. On its opening day, two officers from the Italian anti-terrorist squad, DIGOS, D-I-G-O-S, told the court of their raids on and arrests of the members of the Italian Hammerskin movement run by Roberto Fiori, the convicted terrorist and multimillionaire. On his return to Italy in 1999, after nearly 20 years in exile in Britain, Fiori was charged with organizing, leading, and financing the Hammerskins. His case is still in its early stages at the magistrate's court. Also in the frame is Massimo Morsello, M-O-R-S-E-L-L-O, his business and political partner. Morsello, claiming to be terminally ill with cancer, used his connections in Gianfranco Fini's Alleanza Nazionale to persuade the courts to lift a prison sentence imposed in his absence so that he could return to Italy. Ironically, he is still alive and active, but his young daughter, a former AN youth leader who left the AN to join her father and Fiori when they launched Forza Nuova 2 years ago, died earlier this year. By the way, the Alleanza Nazionale is the direct successor to Mussolini's Fascisti, and it was part of the coalition partner of the government that was headed up by former propaganda due member Silvio Berlusconi in 1994. Continuing. DIGOS gave evidence of Fiori's absolute control of the Hammerskins throughout Italy. The Veneto Front Hammerskins predate Fiori's Hammerskin movement, which was formed around 1995. Founded in the 1980s, it has built up a record of vicious violence and hate crimes. Its leader, Piero Pusciavo, 35, declared that he and his comrades did not recognize the court as it was acting on the orders of ZOG, the Zionist occupation government in America, and the COG, the communist occupation government, as they call Italy's government. Pusciavo was the only one of the gang who showed up in court. Under Italian law, people served with summonses are not obliged to attend at this stage of the proceedings. The court heard evidence that, over the 10 years up to the 1998 police raids, the organization was well-financed, and decisions to carry out anti-Jewish or racist activity were taken at the top. Its two bands, Peignuara Nemico and Gestas Bellica, were used to maintain links with other similar groups around Europe. It was their attendance at a Rudolf Hess memorial event in Germany that led the German Secret Service to tip off DIGOS about the group's terrorist nature. European intelligence services now agree that the Nazis' international music fests are often cover for terrorists to plan operations and policy and exchange arms, money, and drugs. The Veneto region has long been a center for far-right terrorism. The 1969 bombing of the Piazza Fontana Bank was planned there, and it housed the Italian headquarters of Gladio, NATO's sinister stay-behind operation, often run in league with far-right extremists. Fiori's empire is under attack in Britain. The charity commissioners, who move nearly as slowly as Italian justice, have at last suspended the two international third-position charities with which Fiori is closely linked. Now note that Mr. Insabato was associated with the fascist third position, that is Fiori's group. Beginning again, Fiori's empire is under attack in Britain as well. The charity commissioners, who move nearly as slowly as Italian justice, have at last suspended the two international third-position charities with which Fiori is closely linked. Fiori, who claims to be a philanthropic Catholic, took rent from the charities for their use of properties among the hundreds he owns or manages in London. Suggestions of murky dealings over the will of the late fascist Rosine de Bonavea, which surfaced in the Sunday Express in August, may lead to a challenge to the will in which she left a valuable property and its contents to the international third position. By the way, the woman's last name is D-E, capital B-O-U-N-E-V-I-A-L-L-E. Continuing, the coroner's court returned an open verdict after she was found dead in her bath last Christmas. Lying through his teeth, Fiori threatened the Express journalist with legal action for connecting him with the ITP and the House. She ignored him, perhaps because of his record of issuing gagging writs that never reached trial. Much to his disdain, she followed up the story by updating the late 1980s Searchlight exclusive that Fiori and his group of exiles who arrived in Britain in the early 1980s had a deal with MI6, which was why he has been able to operate freely here for many years. It is a classic case of intelligence agencies at cross purposes, with MI6 looking after him while MI5 objects to the presence in Britain of fascists who have robbed banks, killed police and magistrates, and made profits in property, employment, and catering across Europe. The coming months in Verona will give him a few sleepless nights as the court hears the transcripts of phone taps that demonstrate, beyond doubt, his absolute control of the violent Hammerskins. Since the start of the recent Middle East troubles, Fiore's street thugs have made their presence felt in Rome with an attempted attack on the mainly Jewish street traders outside of the Colosseum on October 4th. The 20 thugs shouting, quote, "A light for every Palestinian assassinated," unquote, had to be rescued by the police after the traitors squared up to them. Most of the fascists were careful to direct their slogans against Israel, but some dropped the pretense and shouted anti-Jewish insults. Now, Fiore is talking about being attacked by, quote, "unruly Jewish thugs," unquote. A big embarrassment for Feeney, who was trying so hard to curry favor among Israel's far right, was the presence at this action of Maurizio Boccaccia, who once led the band Movimento Politico, but is now firmly under the control of Feeney's MP for Rome, Teodoro Buontempo. By the way, in addition to their anti-Semitic attitude, I would note that there are elements of Italian fascism, as we've looked at in, among other broadcasts, For the Record programs 94 and 262, that are in bed with some of the fascist elements that are within the far right of the Zionist movement as well. I would also note that this terrorist attack in Italy takes place shortly after a visit to Italy, and bear in mind that that terrorist attack was attributed to somebody formerly associated with Fiore's third position. The attack in Italy took place shortly after a visit to Rome by Jörg Haider, the so-called yuppie fascist of Austria. We've done numerous broadcasts talking about Jörg Haider, and again, those are available from Spitfire. Just check in the For the Record section for the many, many broadcasts dealing in one fashion or another with Jörg Haider. Haider had visited Rome on the invitation of the Pope, and we've noted in the past that the Vatican, I don't want to be misunderstood as saying the Catholic Church, but the Vatican is involved, has been historically involved with fascism dating all the way back to 1919. And again, the history of the Vatican's involvement with fascism is discussed in RFA 17, Fascism and the Vatican. We're going to turn now to the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, December 18th of the year 2000. This is an article by Ellen Nickmeyer of the Associated Press. It's datelined Rome and headlined, "Haider irks Italians with interview. Right-wing Austrian leader tells paper immigrants should stay home." And Jörg Haider stirred up quite a furor, no pun intended, in Italy with his visit. This article reads in part, "Far-right Austrian politician Jörg Haider made parting jabs against immigrants and Italy's, quote, weak, unquote, leaders as he headed home yesterday after a tumultuous visit to the Vatican. Haider's combative interview with the Rome Daily La Repubblica raised the same sort of outrage that his trip to Italy has from the start. His audience with Pope John Paul II on Saturday prompted street protests by leftists outside St. Peter's Square. I repeat what I believe, quote, I repeat what I believe. Everyone has a right to a dignified existence, but in their own country," unquote, Haider was quoted as saying by La Repubblica, again quoting, "Ever more people are thinking like I do," unquote, he added. Italy's center-left government, meanwhile, made clear how unwelcome any return visit would be. Skipping down, "Haider came to Rome as head of a 250-member Austrian delegation that presented John Paul on Saturday with a Christmas tree for St. Peter's Square. Haider dismissed advanced criticism of the trip, saying that the Austrians in his delegation were coming as, quote, angels of peace," unquote. The Austrian Freedom Party was originally created as a vehicle for reintroducing Nazis who had served under Hitler into Austrian political life. I would note that even as elements of Fiore's fascist milieu are using the recent heating up of hostilities in the Middle East as an excuse for attacking Jews, So too the Vatican, or at least elements within the Vatican, are sounding a xenophobic and authoritarian tone that is reminiscent, or certainly calls to mind, the Vatican's history of involvement with fascism. And I would note that even as Fiore and company are attacking the Jews and Israelis for the recent flare-up of violence in the Middle East, so too the Catholic Church, which enjoys the support, or the elements of the Vatican, which enjoy this, the support of people like Fiore and some of their allies in the Alleanza Nazionale, they are attacking Muslim immigration into Europe. In a miscellaneous archive show called M48, entitled Strange Bedfellows, I discuss, actually that might be M58, I believe it is, Strange Bedfellows, I talk about the ideological mystification of fascism and how fascism at times presents itself as serving elements that are inherently opposed to one another, and because it engages in ideological mystification, fascism can embrace elements that are logically contradictory. We're going to turn once again to the Searchlight magazine's issue of November of the year 2000. This is the Searchlight's issue number 305. This is an article, once again, by Jerry Gable. This is entitled, Papal Candidate Sparks Racist Fears. Now note, even while Roberto Fiore and Italian fascist elements grouped around the AN are attacking Jews on behalf and Israelis on behalf of Palestinians, and even as elements of the Israeli far right associated with the Likud party are allied with these very same elements, so at the same time, Vatican elements allied with this same milieu are attacking Muslims for emigrating into Europe. The anti-immigrant status, the anti-immigrant stance, I should say, is something that is held common by fascist elements around the world, including and especially here in the United States. Jerry Gable's article from the Searchlight's issue number 305 from November of 2000 reads in part as follows. This is entitled, Papal Candidate Sparks Racist Fears. Cardinal Ratzinger, the head of the powerful Ecumenical Council of the Catholic Church and a possible future pope, has rejected the notion that other Christian churches are partners in faith and announced that the Catholic Church is the only true Church of Christ, reports Jerry Gable. His utterances have paved the way for an anti-immigrant campaign. Despite Catholic strictures against birth control, large families are increasingly rare in Italy. A recent United Nations study found that Italy's falling population threatens Italy's future as a modern industrial nation with a high standard of living. Ratzinger feared that the low birth rate would lead to unfulfilled jobs and increased Muslim immigration. Other leading Vatican figures are also sounding increasingly like Roberto Fiore's associates in Forza Nuova and the International Third Position, leading to concerns internationally over the impact this will have on racial harmony, as well as on Anglican and Jewish relations with the Church of Rome. Cardinal Giacomo Beefy of Bologna has echoed right-wing elements in some key Vatican publications by calling for an end to Muslim immigration into Italy. Edward Kessler, writing in the Independent Faith and Reason column on September 30th, commented that Beefy appeared to want to rerun the Crusades and said his words would gladden the hearts of racists everywhere. He asked why Cardinal Cassidy, who was responsible for the Vatican's relations with Jews, has remained silent about this strident right-wing attitude is allowed to flourish. But these are not isolated instances of racism. Support for Beefy came from Father Gianni Baje Bozzi, B-O-Z-Z-I, the spiritual advisor to Silvio Berlusconi, leader of the right-wing Pole of Liberty. Bozzi described Beefy as, quote, our defender of national integrity, unquote. The powerful Cardinal Angelo Sodano, S-O-D-A-N-O, who has supported Feeney on a number of occasions, stated, quote, this is not a racist position. Beefy has simply invited the government to prevent Muslim immigration in order to defend the Christian identity of Italy, unquote. Another influential clergyman lining up with the intolerant is Monsignor Francesco Gioia, secretary of the Pontifical Council on Migrants and Itinerants, who declared, quote, Beefy's position is neither new nor in contrast with Vatican policy on immigration, unquote. Beefy's official pastoral letter, read out to 300 Vatican officials, also spoke of a, quote, battle to define Europe as either Muslim or Christian, unquote, and said he was sounding, quote, an alarm against the invasion of the children of Mohammed, unquote, and that, quote, the right of invasion does not exist, unquote. His views were met with applause. No wonder the fascists are growing in confidence when three fascist groups in the Pole of Liberty axis can parade their banners outside a church and have the priests step out and bless them. The banners included one from Pino Rauti's MSI Flame organization. Rauti has been connected with bombers and terrorists for many years. Berlusconi cannot be too happy about the publicity afforded him by the London-based Financial Times last month. An in-depth interview and examination of his sometimes illicit methods of doing business and his extremist policies led the respected newspaper to draw the conclusion in an editorial that he is not by a mile the best man to become Italy's next prime minister. Against this background, Jews and Christians inside and outside the Vatican are becoming increasingly concerned about the Vatican's rightwards shift. So note again that clerics associated with the Silvio Berlusconi, Gianfranco Fini milieu are attacking Muslims and other Christian denominations at the same time as people like Fiore and his street fascists, so to speak, are attacking Israel and Jews on behalf of the Palestinians. And this sort of ideological mystification, which permits the at least temporary resolution of opposites, is again discussed in the Miscellaneous Archive show entitled Strange Bedfellows. That is available from Spitfire, and time permitting, I'll give the particulars about Spitfire at the end of the program. Turning now to Germany, there's been a particularly brutal murder in Germany, which appears to be being covered up. In For the Record program number 262, a previous update on Eurofascism, I discussed another article, actually a pair of articles from the Searchlights issue number 2000, number 305, talking about how the German judicial and police authorities are actively covering up the true extent of neo-Nazi violence in Germany. And it would appear that that cover-up is ongoing. Consider the following, and by way of assessing the news media, too, just imagine if the little kid here, a child of mixed German and Iraqi descent, suppose this kid were a Palestinian who had been assaulted and murdered by 50 Likud party thugs in Israel. Do you think that that story would have the paucity of coverage that this story has achieved in the United States, where it has been almost ignored by the media, and the apparent cover-up by the German judicial authorities has been largely successful? Hint, how many Israeli corporations take out ads in major American media voices? Again, German corporate sponsorship, like other corporate sponsorship, has a lot to do with the censorship of the media. Commercial media voices do not print articles that are damaging to their to the people who buy ads in those publications. The San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, November 29th of the year 2000 was one of the relatively few papers to cover this particular case. There's an ongoing column in the Chronicle called Notes from Here and There by Louis Delinsky, and it reads, and there's an aspect of this column, or an element of this column, entitled A Death in Germany, and it reads as follows. In June 1997, 6-year-old Joseph Abdullah, German mother, Iraqi immigrant father, drowned in the public pool in Sebnitz, East Germany. The town in Saxony is a hotbed of racism. The death was ruled accidental, but the parents knew better. The results of their investigation appeared in German newspapers. Joseph went to the outdoor pool with his 12-year-old sister. About 50 skinheads or neo-Nazis were there. Joseph was grabbed, hit, and forced to drink something, apparently with a drug in it. He was shocked with a stun gun, thrown into the pool semi-conscious with shouts of, "You foreign pig," and trampled. Too late, attendants pulled him out. His sister had shouted for help. There were 200 other people there, but no one did anything or said anything, not even later to the police. After an anonymous tip, the parents got the word by going door to door and by paying for a second autopsy. It revealed bruises and traces of the drug Ritalin. Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder met the mother, Renata Kontelberg Abdullah, and urged a full investigation. Two men and a woman in their 20s were arrested. They have been released. Witnesses are being discredited. Decrying press coverage, Mayor Mike Rook hints that the parents were delusional. Many in Sebnitz feel their town, not the boy, is the victim. Again, suppose that were a Palestinian kid who was similarly treated by 50 Likud party thugs. I think you'd be seeing a lot more coverage of that particular crime. And again, it appears that the German judicial and police authorities are covering up this crime by attempting to discredit the boy's family. The San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, November 30th of the year 2000, the paper from the next day, goes into this apparent cover-up. In the World Report section of the Chronicle, there's the following article datelined Berlin and headlined, Prosecutors Say Boy Not Slain by Neo-Nazis. Authorities in the eastern German state of Saxony ruled out the possibility yesterday that a 6-year-old boy found dead in a swimming pool 3 years ago was a victim of neo-Nazi violence. Prosecutors from the state capital Dresden had reopened the inquiry into the death of Joseph Abdullah after the boy's German mother and Iraqi father presented new witness statements that their son was beaten, drugged, and drowned by a far-right gang. So apparently that crime is not going to be investigated. I would note that the xenophobic tone that is, to a certain extent, giving rise to this upsurge in fascist violence in Germany is, in many ways, the tone for that is being set by German officialdom, and in particular, the German CDU party has been embracing this sort of xenophobia while officially decrying the violence. This is a subject we've discussed in the past, and it was touched on in the Germany Alert issue of October 21st of the year 2000. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is headlined, CDU Demands Foreigners Adopt the German Way of Life, and it reads in part as follows. There has been a new escalation in the anti-foreigner drive by Germany's Christian Democrats. CDU Chair Angela Merkel now demands that foreigners wishing to live in Germany assume, quote, a Christian Western, unquote, lifestyle and arrange their own lives to function under German customs. I would add that American fascist elements, including some of those that have been incorporated into the Republican Party, have sounded a similar theme with regard to multiculturalism in the United States. Continuing. The statement was seen as a direct attack against immigrants from Turkey and other developing countries. The CDU position parallels that of extreme right-wing groups such as the NPD, which thrive on anti-foreigner hate. As part of the CDU's latest nationalist thrust, Merkel declared the party will not drop plans to consider immigration an election campaign issue. So again, note that the anti-immigrant violence is following a tone set by elements of the CDU and German officialdom in general. This is something we've noted in numerous broadcasts in the past. I've alluded to programs that are available from Spitfire. That's a tape duplication service that stocks all of the various programs I've done over the years. Spitfire can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Ben Lomond is capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. And there's a list of and description of the various tapes available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. That's S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E-L-I-S-T.com. You can email me at demory@kfjc.org. That concludes For the Record program. Oh, by the way, before I wrap up the broadcast, WFMU-FM in New Jersey is beginning to archive the various programs that are available from Spitfire on Real Audio. The Spitfire website is equipped with Real Audio. WFMU is at WFMU.org. That concludes For the Record program number 267, Update on Eurofascism. This is being recorded on December 31st of the year 2000. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.